Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Today is Remembrance Sunday, and we continue our series on the book of Isaiah. Our speaker is the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James, and the talk is entitled Hearing His Comfort. Our readings are taken from Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11, and Mark 1, verses 1 to 5. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and beginning at the first verse. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she had received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because of the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is taken from Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and it's titled John the Baptist Prepares the Way. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the River Jordan. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, Lord. Amen. So 80 years, 80 years since the end of World War II, when the guns fell silent and the world was able to breathe again after years of devastation and fear. 80 years since people poured into the streets, some dancing with relief that the war was over, others weeping in exhaustion and grief, conscious of the human cost. Yet, amid the rubble, there was also a growing hope, a longing for renewal, for peace, for rebuilding lives and nations. Today, on Remembrance Sunday, we honor the courage and sacrifice of those who fought and served, those who gave their lives so that others, like you and me, might live freely. But we also remember the scars, immense human cost, and the grief that stretched across nations. And it is that tension between struggle and renewal, loss and hope, that today's reading from Isaiah speaks so powerfully. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, we are exploring that book of Isaiah. And up to this point, the message from chapter 1 to 39 has been filled with warnings and judgments. Isaiah speaks against the injustice and the rebellion, against the Israelites trusting in the wrong things. Isaiah spoke against idols of wood and stone. But of course, our world is maybe not filled with those kind of idols, but maybe with idols a little bit more subtle. The things we cling to for comfort, pleasure, control, position, influence, or power. We may not set up statues in our living rooms, but we do still build altars. Altars to wealth, to image, to ideology, to self-importance and self-promotion. In Isaiah's time, those whom God had revealed himself to had turned away from him, and the exile, that dark period of displacement and loss, loomed large as both consequence and correction for them. But then, like dawn breaking after a long night, or like the good news of the end of a war, chapter 14 marks a turning point, and the tone shifts from judgment to comfort, from condemnation to consolation. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim that to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Now, some translations have this little word warfare different because it can be translated as warfare or army or as a period of hard serving, a little bit like the service of a soldier, the compulsory service of a soldier's term of duty. And that's what here this passage is about. They were about to go through a period of hardship because of their disobedience, a kind of compulsory service. They were going to be their term of duty, the consequence for the way they had lived and for their rejection of God and his ways. But that was not the end of the story. Despite their unfaithfulness to God, God remained true to his commitment and his promises. And this is where God's redemption begins to unfold, not because the people earned it, but because God remains faithful. And so from chapter 40 to 66, we have this sweeping vision of renewal and redemption, where God assures his people of forgiveness, of return, and of hope. And so for us, these words echo deeply, especially on a day like this, because we too still live in a world of tension, a world where we still see brokenness, but at the same times where we know God's promises. We know too well the pain of loss, whether they're personal, whether they're lost because of suffering, maybe because of the struggles of just having a faith or going through life. Yet Isaiah reminds us that God's comfort is not just sentiment. It's his active presence, the assurance that he is with us, that he restores what is broken, that he brings peace where there has been pain. And so Isaiah's message of comfort is not the only message here in this passage. The prophet who announced peace also has to speak truth, even when that truth unsettles us. A voice says, cry out, and Isaiah said, well, what shall I cry? What shall I say? And Isaiah is given his answer. All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. And at first, hearing this kind of message feels harsh and may be offensive to our modern ears. But Isaiah's words cut to the heart of our human reality, the truth about ourselves. We are fragile. We are fleeting, and we are fallible. In Isaiah's days, the message confronted a people who had trusted in alliances and armies and all kind of wrong gods. They thought that they could secure their future by entrusting themselves to those powers. In our days, the idols look different, but the illusion remains. We might put our trust in progress, in intellect, in wealth, and in technology. We might tell ourselves that education and science and innovation will save us, that liberation from traditional morals will finally make us whole and happy, or that if we just work harder, learn faster, and live smarter, we can perfect our world. We have built new temples, temples of human achievement, and bowed to the gods of war, sex, power, and self-sufficiency. But Isaiah's words break through the illusion. The grass withers, the flowers fall. Human progress, as good as it can be, is not the ultimate. Reason, knowledge, creativity, wealth, the ability to influence and lead, they are gifts. But when we detach them from their giver, they become idols. We begin to worship our own light, believing that we can rule wisely and compassionately from the goodness of our own hearts. And that is the very delusion that Isaiah unmasks. Yet, and here's the twist, the gospel twist, the good news twist, that this sobering truth is not meant to lead us to despair, but to deliver us. Isaiah is not mocking human frailty, he's exposing false hopes so that we can be anchored in a true one. Yes, the grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of our God endures forever. What God speaks, what he promises, endures. It will come to pass. This is the good news, that our hope is not built on what fades, but on what lasts. Not on human effort, but on divine promises. Not on shifting ground of human achievements, but on the solid foundation of God's enduring truth and commitment towards his creation. Not on our wisdom, but on God's word. And so, having reflected on the fleetingness of all human promises, the fragility of our own achievements, and the emptiness of trusting in ourselves as the place and the source of salvation, Isaiah moves, finally, from confronting our illusion to proclaiming God's coming. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on the high mountains. That picture is you who bring good news to my people at the time Israel's. Go to the highest place so everyone can hear you. Lift up your voice with a shout. Say to the city of Judah, say to my people, here is your God. And this is the climax of Isaiah's message. God is coming, the God who comes. And it's not a distant or an abstract power. This coming is personal, intimate, and efficient. God comes in power, yes, with a mighty hand to rule, to rescue, to set things right, but he also comes in tenderness, tending his flock like a shepherd, gathering the lambs in his arms, carrying them close to his heart, gently leading those who are weary. Those two images might start making you think about someone that we are going to celebrate the birth very soon, and hence the picture on the screen. Sovereign power and gentle care. They're not contradictions, they complement each other, revealing the very heart and character of God. These are the two sides of one divine reality, a reality ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And so we find those two verses. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. Jesus come in strength to set things right. He confronts what we could say the mountains and hills of injustice and hypocrisy and human arrogance, not with armies or weapons, but with truth that pierces the heart. His teaching dismantles pretense. His miracles undo the curse. His cross and resurrection overthrown sin and death themselves. But then in verse 11, we have he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Jesus, who confronts injustice, hypocrisy, and human arrogance, is also the one who cares and lift up the weary, the burdened, the brokenhearted. That very same chapter, when we hear about the Word becoming flesh, living among us, it says he brings the word of truth and grace. Both comes together. Truth that can unsettle us, but grace. He heals the sick, forgives the guilty, restores the lost, but also speak truth. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus brings the deepest deliverance. Deliverance from our guilt and shame. Deliverance from the weight of human rebellion. Deliverance from our alienation from God, from others, and from ourselves. Something Tiafun is addressing in their very mission. That separation from God, from one another, from ourselves, and from creation. Jesus brings reconciliation in all those aspects. He restores us to the purposes for which we were created, draw us into the presence of God, into relationships with him, with each other, with ourselves, and with all of creation. He offers a life that is abundant and enduring. Jesus, the Word made flesh. Maybe this morning, you feel the fleeting emptiness of the world's answers, or the restlessness of your own searching soul. Today, hear what Jesus says, the good news, his invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Today you can receive God's compassion and forgiveness through Jesus, who embodies the ultimate comfort and promises of God. You don't have to build your own salvation. You only need to receive the one who has come to bring it. Jesus has come not to condemn you, but to restore you. Not to burden you, but to lift the weight you cannot carry. Not to offer a passing comfort, but a living hope that endures forever. So this morning, in conclusion, Isaiah's message moves like a great symphony from the voice of comfort through the truth of our frailty to the promise of God's coming in power and compassion. The end of human self-confidence is the beginning of divine grace. True comfort is not found in humanity's greatness, but in God's faithfulness. And so this Remembrance Sunday, and in our modern Western world, this good news stands as both a comfort and a challenge. It challenges the misplaced confidence in our own capacity to build a better world through progress, education, technology, reason, human wisdom, and insight. And so Isaiah's cry echoes across the century. Yes, the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. This cry doesn't condemn human creativity or progress, but it refuses to locate ultimate hope there. The passage deconstructs our trust in what human hands can build and redirect our hope towards the enduring character of God and his faithfulness. So be encouraged. God is not absent. God is not silent. God is not powerless. He comes as sovereign to bring light, to bring to light what is hidden in our darkness, and as a shepherd to guide, to heal, and to renew those who respond to his invitation. Maybe let's pause and pray. Heavenly Father, you are the God who comforts, the God who comes, the God whose word endures forever. Some of us this morning are weary, burdened, carrying heavy grief, doubt, or shame. Guide us into your comfort. Carry us close to your heart and lead us gently into your rest. Some of us maybe are becoming aware of the fleeting emptiness of the world's answers and the restlessness of our own searching soul. Lord, we lay down our defenses and offer you our lives. Teach us and teach your church to seek your ways, to trust your ability to save, rescue, and transform. And may we live as people renewed by your comfort, humbled by our frailty, and inspired by the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our shepherd and our King. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.